I'm going to be reading a famous verse, if everybody knows it, John 3:16. I'm going to be reading the CSB verse, and it'll be on the screen as well. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
All righty. Thank you for that, Matthew. Let me pray for us, and then we'll dive in. Amen. Jesus, thank you for your great love for us. Lord, we are grateful that there is a Father and that he loves us and that he has demonstrated that love and that we've been brought into that love. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you, Lord, speak to your people. Will you speak to us, Holy Spirit? We give you free rein to speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's my title this morning, The Father's Love for the World. The Father's Love for the World. Here's my main point. God's love for the world is to save it, not condemn it. If we think about the mission statement for the church, most of our minds would rightly go to Matthew 28:19-20, right? This is to go into the world, what? And make disciples of all the nations. That would be right and good. And I really appreciate even the message last Sunday from Malcolm Laws, really kind of priming the pump, really, in many ways for this series. But if we just fixate on the what of mission, we'll miss the most essential part, which is the why. And John 3:16, as Matthew alluded to, is sort of a verse that most of us know, and we're so familiar with it, it almost even kind of becomes passe. But the what of mission is fueled and animated by the why. John 3:16 represents the why of mission. It's the Father's love for the world, right, that was demonstrated in him sending his Son that we might be brought in right relationship with him. That is the why, and that is the part that we need to embrace, get reacquainted with, and live into in greater measure so that when we try to do the what, we don't run out of gas. Everybody following with me this morning? If we're going to do the what, we need to make sure that we are energized by the why. I'm going to take this passage, just one singular verse, and we're going to take it in sections. Is that okay this morning? For God so loved the world. Here's my first point. The Father loves the world. Simple but yet profound. Who is his love for, and what do we actually mean by the world? Probably the best way to really unpack this verse is not to look at it merely in isolation. Actually, this verse comes in a part of a longer form conversation that happens in chapter 3 of the book of John. And I wanted to read the first couple of verses at the beginning of chapter 3. This conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, which will give us a framing for understanding who we're talking about when we say that God loves the world. Here in verse 1, it says, there was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform these signs you do unless God were with him. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is a healthy framework for us to understand the world. He's curious about Jesus. He wants to have a conversation with him, but yet he's fraught with some insecurities, because when does he meet with Jesus at night? I want to make sure that though I've got questions for Jesus, that I'm not seen necessarily with Jesus. So he's got some curiosities, but yet insecurities. He's got questions. Obviously, he wants to ask Jesus. Interesting enough, he never gets to his initial questions. Jesus already knows the answers to the questions of our heart. And he begins to expound and unpack this, which eventually leads us up to John 3:16. Nicodemus, in this conversation, got more than he bargained for. Curiosities, insecurities, questions, assumptions about who God is and who he isn't, and who salvation is for. This is who Nicodemus is. This is who the world is. This is the world that the Father loves. It's not a world that has it all together. How many of us need some help from time to time? That's all of us, amen? It's a world that struggles. It's a world that has challenges, but this is the world that the fathers love. I want to break this down by looking at a couple of examples, bringing it back to Nicodemus, as Jesus is expounding to him the depth and the breadth of what the Father's love looks like. One of the first important things to recognize is that it's not just for a particular cultural group. As he's sitting here as a first century Jew, as a leader of the Jewish people, he would have had the framework in view that salvation was just for the Jews. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes, maybe not directly, maybe not with even the intent of malice or any of that sort, we can sometimes have a view of certain groups of people. We're not sure if the Father's love can reach them. It's not just for those who are religious leaders, though Nicodemus would come to follow him. It's not just for the rich, though someone like Joseph of Arimathea likely had the resources to enable Jesus to be buried in the tomb. It is for the tax collectors, those who have taken advantage of people for monetary gain. It's for those who were prostitutes, those who people have abused physically. It's for murderers like Paul. Oh yeah, that Paul who wrote a good portion of the New Testament, whom without, if we can be honest, sometimes in our church context, in our church cultures, murderers might not be invited to a Sunday morning service. It's for soldiers, if you remember the centurion, whose faith Jesus acknowledged was great. Those who were a part of the Roman Empire at the time, who were a part of the oppressive state. It's for the poor, those who struggle to make it every day. It's for the sinner, those who are weighted down by addictive patterns. The world, contrary to popular opinion, remains interested in spiritual matters. It's a world with questions. It's a world with assumptions about who God is and who salvation is for, but it's this world that the Father loves. And at times, the church needs just to be reminded of that. His love is for everyone. To reignite our love and our compassion for people, sometimes we had to be reminded that, yeah, the love that reached down from heaven and grabbed a hold of my soul, that was apart from him, that was running away from him, it's the same love that's available for everyone. This is the why of the mission. We have a little saying around here. We want to what? Reach a city to, oh man, you've been here for a while. Praise God. That's the what of GCF, right? Coming rooted in the Great Commission. But the why is central. Why do we go? Man, we've been impacted by the reaching down from heaven of the Father's love towards us. And if we lose that, then missions can become something that's unhealthy. It also ultimately becomes unhealthy for us because our motivation isn't aligned with the Father's heart for the world. I know it's the first Sunday of the morning of the year, and I know sometimes we just want to ease on in. You know, sometimes you just want to ease on in to a conversation, right? Well, okay, we're not going to ease in. What competes with gaining the Father's heart for the world? Let's be honest, people are hard to love. You just get a couple of us in the room and just one simple conversation about anything, anything, and it can cause an eruption. This is all the more reason to ask for more of the Father's love. It's not humanly within our nature and DNA to love like the Father loves, which means you're going to need more of the Father's love in 2026. Now, here's the reality. We get really good at tolerating people. if I can just put you right here and deal with you like this, then I don't have to deal with you as much. And because I don't have to deal with you as much, right, that keeps my sanity where it needs to be. And there's some wisdom in how we engage people, for sure. But some of us are masters of helping us to be merely tolerant of others and not loving them well. Sometimes it's my own agenda and comfort. Man, just because on occasion I'm sitting in front of a couple of hundred people, I would rather be by myself. I'm an only child. I'm a natural introvert. I can spend, my family will tell you, where's he at? And that's not me being derelict in any way of being a father. I'm present like I need to be. But if I don't need to be present, y'all just chilling and hanging out, I can just be by myself. That's my natural, right, predisposition. But if we're going to demonstrate the Father's love to the world, we're going to have to get out of our agendas and our comfort zones to love people where they're at. Remaining perceptions of people often reinforced by politics or our experiences. You're welcome. Let's be real. There's very little, oftentimes, on our news outlets, our social media feeds, et cetera, you name it, that is encouraging us well to love people. And oftentimes, and I'll raise my hand, I buy into it. Thank you. And here's a critical part of this. We may be thinking it's not forming us because we don't necessarily articulate it to other people, but don't think it's not weaving its way into our hearts. I hesitated to get into this just because because, like I just said, sometimes you can have a conversation and it just goes left. But I want to have a moment of transparency with you so that you don't think I'm just up here preaching, but I'm trying to live this as well. So we just took a short family vacation, got to go up to the mountains in Virginia, which was great. But along the way, as we're driving, I'm seeing Confederate flags everywhere. And I was like, Corey Brown, you told me this was going to be a great vacation. Like, I'm starting to question our friendship a little bit. Now, here's the reality. I could just feel myself feeling some kind of way. And here's an even deeper reality. This is a complex conversation because it's easy to put people in one category or another based off a particular outward expression. But if you're like me, people are complex. Sometimes we even contradict ourselves. So what as I'm driving past these flags and I get to the hotel, I'm just feeling some kind of way. When I finally get back, I'm praying to the Lord, and of course I'm getting ready for this sermon, and I feel like the Lord's Holy Spirit really convicted me and said, yeah, my love is for them too. Oh, you've got a right to feel some kind of way because of the past and history, et cetera, et cetera. That may be all well and true. Here's an important little detail. Just because there are things that maybe rightly offend us, we don't need to not be dismissive of those things, but don't let that rob you of what the Father's love can do in their life. And I got on my knees and I prayed for those people. So what we believe about people will determine what we believe God is able to do. Here's a simple application for us this morning. Jesus is challenging us to think differently about people. Sometimes we need to just simply repent for allowing certain voices to influence us. And even when out of our mouths, we have said things in private that we wouldn't dare say in public. Moving on. How is the Father's love demonstrated? He gave his one and only son. He gave his one and only son. Some years ago, as I'm still really incredibly grateful for, my grandmother, my mother's mom, when I would come down to visit her in Richmond, Virginia, she would take me to church. And that was really my first real experiencing in understanding what faith is. But some years after that, as a young adult, I really was pretty far removed from the Lord, and I came to visit her, and in her classic way, with her great smile and her warm voice, and just receiving me with a great love that just only a grandmother can do, right? I always felt accepted, even though I was far away from the Lord and living the way that I wanted to live. But she gave me something this one particular time that was incredibly tangible and life-giving. She gave me a Bible. She gave me a Bible that had my name written on it. Here she is giving me this tangible gift that was an expression of her love for me, a love that I had seen for many, many years, though I was far away from the Lord and I wasn't really interested in it. This tangible gift that my grandmother gave me when I didn't want it, when I wasn't interested in it, when I was far away from the Lord, it's the gift of the Son. This is the expression of the Father's love. Humanity's not looking for him. The word says, there's not one righteous, not one. All have gone their own way. None of us seek after the Lord in our own natural strength. But the Father's love was poured out on the Son, the second person of the Trinity, who had all power and authority in his hands, and yet he stepped down and lowered himself so that we could become the righteousness of God. This is the gift to us. This is the demonstration of the Father's love. John says it this way in 1 John 1-3, says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. God didn't just come with a set of rules, set of things to follow. He came and gave them himself. Walked and lived among us, and then would go to a cross and die, and then would rise so that we could be brought in right relationship. So the love of the Father is not merely just a love because he loves you. It's a love because he wants to bring you close. I got the joy over this past week on vacation just to be able just to hold my kids. I don't know what that does for them as their earthly father, but I remember being a kid and being able to just hug my dad who's here this morning. I know what it's like just to lay, like John says, on Jesus' bosom and just be able to rest, knowing that you're secure. Isn't this a love that we will want every single person to experience? This is the gift of the Son. Here's my second point. So they will not perish. The Father's love comes by one way. The Father's love comes by one way. What does Jesus mean when he says by not perishing? Anybody ever felt sick? That's all of us, right? Felt some pain, that's probably this morning, some struggles, this morning maybe even. That's all of us. Most of us, if not all of us, have maybe experienced the death of a loved one. That is maybe what we would consider the ultimate sense of perishing, is when you die. But sickness and pain, and even death itself is not really what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about perishing. These are merely forms of perishing, a prelude to what he's talking about. To really unpack what he's talking about, we have to look at what he says further down in the text. In the 18th verse of chapter 3 of John, where he says, anyone who believes in him is not condemned. But anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. It's quiet in here. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is the perishing that he's talking about. Is that death is not the end. It's the beginning of eternity. And without Christ, it's an eternal judgment. Eternally separated from the Father. Because people are perishing, we need to have truthful conversations. Many of you know my wife. She's a physician. She's an OBGYN. She's been practicing medicine for like 16 years or something like that. And I asked her this question, like, hey, now, what is it like having to deal with hard conversations, truthful conversations with people? She's seen a lot. She's, in many respects, had to be in a moment of celebratory moments. The vast majority of time, as she's helping the people experience the new birth of a child. But at times, she's had to deliver a stillborn. She's had to, even in one particular case that stood out to me, was a child had a condition where their cranium, their skull, did not form. These are hard conversations to have with people. But as a physician, she is by oath and by training required to do no harm. And people come to her because they're wanting two things in particular. They want the truth. They need the truth, but they also need care. It's interesting how it reads in the CSB. It says that that the Father's love is in this way. In this way, a particular, unique way. The only way for salvation is through the Son. No one comes to the Father but through the Son. That is, for many people, a hard pill to swallow. But it's truth. And what my wife would tell me is that when she's dealing with a hard situation, she wants to do the best that she can in order to demonstrate that I listen to you. I'm going to do my best to try to help you. Even if you came in for knee pain, and the real issue is your diet. I want to start cultivating a relationship with you so we can try to help you with this to the extent that we can. But I know that fundamentally, because of my medical training, the real issue is your diet, and I need to get to that. But I need to develop a rapport with you enough that you'll trust me that I can tell you a hard truth. And we have seen missions done in a way where the hard truth is told, but it's done without care. And if we really genuinely grasp the Father's love for the world, then what should be motivating us as much as telling people the clear truth, because it's the only way, it's only through Christ, is that there's also a way out, a way of escape. I wanted us just to sit in this for just a little bit, so that they will not perish. I wanted to read a couple of examples to you out of a Gospel Coalition article that I read back in December, I think. This pastor is giving just a few examples of just what people believe. I just want to read these to you. He goes on to say, says, a young woman at my gym's front desk was reading a book on neuroscience. And when I asked her about it, she shared that her interest stemmed from experiencing radical healing of her uterine pain. She credited her healing to the practices of mindfulness, meditation, and manifestation. Only the Father sees the heart. None of us have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into. But if this young woman, this person, whoever she is, continues to carry this belief forward, and if we take it at face value, she is on her way to perishing. I'll read another example. More. During an airport layover, a woman saw me reading a Bible commentary and wanted to talk about religion. She quoted an Orthodox saying from her Baptist upbringing that God has a purpose for whatever you're going through. Yet by the end of the conversation, I learned that alongside believing in God's providence, she engages in rituals involving crystals. She said they help her feel grounded and connected to her ancestors. This is a common tendency of the human heart. Well, you see this all throughout the Old Testament. We're going to take a look, some of what God's got, and then we're going to mix it with a little bit of what we want. That's a natural thing. We like enough of Jesus to take these parts of him. But stuff that we don't think we really like or we don't think works, we're going to take some of this other stuff over here too. Again, I don't know her, Holy Father sees her heart, but if this is where she's finding her salvation, and this young person, I'm assuming she's young, is on her way to perishing. I want us just to sit in this moment of sobriety, because sometimes we need to be awakened that our neighbors, our coworkers, our family members, that person that you hasn't talked to you in 5 years because of some argument from 5 years ago, if they haven't encountered the love of the Son, they're on their way to perishing. We need not shy away from the truth so that we can care for people. Here's a simple application for us to think about. Let's be encouraged to get out of our comfort zones in 2026. Maybe for many of us, that's just simply starting a conversation with people in our grocery stores, right? This isn't to try to create a new lane or a new set of activities. Everywhere you go, there happen to be people that go with you. Do it together. This is not a solo project. Sometimes we hear missions and we think, oh, this is something I've got to dun, dun, dun. No. There's no dun-dun-dun. Let me just calm down. There's no dun-dun-dun. All it is us agreeing and believing that what Christ has done on the cross is worthy of people hearing about. Just one other final note on that. I want to encourage some of us that we've been coming to church. I want you to take one big step in the church. Don't just come. Get all the way in. Feel it. All of it. Ooh, that feels good. Right down into my bones. It's my final point. Whosoever believes will have eternal life. The Father's love is received by faith. We know we live in a time where in some settings you're told that faith is a thing of the past. You know, we have scientific discovery and inquiry, we have technological development. All those things have really put religion on the back burner. I've even heard a pretty prominent skeptic atheist say very recently, say, yeah, in time we'll see religion eventually just fade away. Again, questions. The world has questions. None of us were running after the Father's heart. But as an example of this that I think is helpful, because sometimes we think that that's maybe the prevailing thought, but interesting enough, there's some interesting new developments. You want an update on a new development? So here's from that same article that I referenced. And I want this to help us because it's not completely lost on the world that they are perishing. And there remains this echo of eternity in the heart of men that compels them to believe for more. Here's an example of that. As strange as this might sound, in Silicon Valley is banking on creating a techno-utopia filled with immortals by using longevity technology or uploading our souls into the cloud. These dreams depend on summoning a benevolent AGI, that stands for Artificial General Intelligence, that functions as a deity or a god. Now, you can hyperfixate on what that is. That's not what I want you to fixate on. I want you to hear that for all of our advances, all of our intellect, all of our scientific discovery, etc., there's still this desire to be able to transcend death. And they're looking for love, as the song says, in all the wrong places. This is the picture or the hope that people are placing their eternal souls towards. But I want to give us a picture as I get ready to close of what the Father's love will look like. And it looks like this in Revelation 21, 1 to 3. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God." The faith that people are misplacing in technology or their own strength or their own doing is just another version of the Tower of Babel. But God has done a great work through Jesus Christ that we will see him one day face to face as he is. His promise is secure, is forever. He is not a man that he should lie. This is something that we want to communicate, the destiny, the eternal hope that's in Christ alone. And it comes by faith, not by works, lest no one should boast. We need to help people unwrap the gift of faith by getting into their stories, not being put off by what the things that they believe. Jesus sat down with every single one of us in our brokenness, in our wrong thinking, in our messed up way of living, because he wanted to bring us close. And he's calling us to be able to live and model the Father's love for the world in such a way that we will be able to be compelled to step close to any and every single person, regardless of their circumstances, how they're living their lives, what things might be putting us off, because we want to see them come into eternal glory by faith. How do we help people unwrap that gift? As I close, I just wanted to take us a moment. Just close your eyes. Take a deep breath. New year, 2026. Just take a moment. Just simply ask the Holy Spirit. Put someone on your heart to reach out to you, to connect with that person in the grocery store that maybe you've had conversations with. Is it that coworker that struggling in their marriage? Whatever, whoever it is, just take a moment, quietly reflect, and give us about 15, 20 seconds. Just ask the Holy Spirit, place somebody on your heart. before I take my seat, wherever the Lord has maybe put on your heart, don't neglect it. Put in your notes, put in your phone. And just simply as we're starting our time of prayer and fasting this week, you're going to have a great opportunity to pray over that individual and ask the Lord's counsel on what you need to do. Before I sit down, I want to just offer the gift to anyone here under the sound of my voice, where you recognize that you're not in the Father's love. You have not accepted the gift of salvation. And just as a reminder, this was the purpose that Jesus came to bring us into right relationship with the Father. And it was costly. Our sin is costly. It's what causes us to die. It's why we get sick. It's why we will ultimately perish. And it took God Himself to come to make us clean. But that gift has to be received by faith, meaning that we choose to turn away, repent from our ways of thinking, and choose to turn towards Him, to look up to our King and Savior. If that's you this morning, you know, you're outside of the family of God, and you're ready to give your life to Jesus, just raise your hand this morning. Raise it high. Don't be ashamed of God, because He's not ashamed of you. Go ahead and wind up the service here. Pastor Beatty, do we have any remaining announcements before we close? Yeah, so just again, a reminder, really want to encourage us as we pray and fast this week to be a part of all the prayer moments as much as you are able. 7 p.m. All throughout this week, culminating in our time of worship and prayer, prophetic time on Friday night. If you do need prayer, our prayer team will be here in the front. We'll make up the altars open for you for that. First one down for the year. Amen. God is good. His mission is good. The Father's love is good. You can go ahead and stand to your feet as we get ready to dismiss. Just going to pray us out with a short prayer of blessing. Jesus, we thank you for the love of the Father reflected and demonstrated through your love poured out on the cross. Lord, we thank you for this house. We thank you, Lord, that you're the head of the church. You're the head of this church. Help us, King Jesus, Lord, to be led of your Spirit. Lord, help us in greater measure to have the Father's heart as we go out into our schools and jobs and various places, Lord, as we start off this new year. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. You are dismissed. You have a great Sunday afternoon.